For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we got a big CarCast episode for you today. We're going to talk about electric trucks like Rivian and Nikola and the Hummer and all kinds of cool stuff. But before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Zorro. If you guys purchase supplies for a small to mid-sized business, Zorro.com is your go-to resource. They have tools, safety equipment, office, shipping, cleaning, and automotive supplies, including specialty items you can't find anywhere else. And they have the brands that you know and trust, like Stanley, 3M, Prestone, Black & Decker, Rubbermaid, all at competitive prices. They've got fast and free shipping on orders of $50 or more, and their U.S.-based customer service team can answer all of your questions. Visit Zorro.com/CarCast to sign up for their Z-Mail newsletter, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's Zorro, Zorro.com/CarCast for 15% off your first order. Zorro.com, all you need to make your business go. And of course, our friends at Dodge. With Dodge Power Dollars, for every horsepower of your new Dodge vehicle that you purchase, you'll get $10 off. So peeling out in a 2019 Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack, well, you'll get $4,580 off. All right, Chris, let's get started. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I am Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg, calling in from his fancy digs in Texas. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, stop that. Stop that. It's not fancy at all. It's just out in the middle of nowhere, and
that's what I like about it.
Near me. Other than that, it's not fancy.
That's what I like about it. That's fancy to me. I live in Venice, and it just sounds like crime all the time. It's just crime.
Yes.
All the time. All I hear is sirens all day. Just sirens and helicopters,
like in downtown New York, you know?
I love the weather over there, and it's nice to be, you know, a mile from the beach or so, but it's just day and night, just helicopter. It's actually at night, I'm not even worried. I could sleep through it now, and I'm so used to it. It's during the day, like when you're trying to get stuff done and make some phone calls, and it's just crime. Just, it's the sound of crime happening all the time.
And you know what, man? I completely understand that not everybody by any means is in the business situation that I'm in that I don't have to be in one particular area necessarily. Mm-hmm. But man, your peace of mind and your sanity and just the ability to not hear anything is extremely valuable in your quality of life. And I can tell you, since I've been here for 3 months, it's made a huge difference. I mean, it really does. You don't know how much difference it makes until you remove yourself from that situation for a period of time.
I don't know what would happen to me initially, if it would like drive me mad or I would sleep for 4 days. Just straight through, just be relaxed.
I mean, just the option, just having the option to do it is glorious, man. And I can't tell you nothing else has changed, but my way of life out here and my outlook is just completely different. It's just a very motivating move for sure. So anyway,
all right.
Just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah. Good job.
But it rains a lot, and I can't drive my cars all the time.
It's funny you said that. I was driving the Hellcat Red Eye, and I realized we touched a little bit on it last week. It's like so much power, so much fun. even with a 305 tire in the back, good luck trying to hook up. And of course, two of the days that I have the car, it's raining. And you know, we got this new shop that Adam's building out, and it's a little bit of a drive for me, but he's like, come by. I want to lay out some of the, you know, we've been working on it, designing it for a long time. And as it builds, we're making a few changes. He's like, I want to lay out some of the lights and some of the fans and talk more about the floor. Can you come out on the weekend? And I said, yeah. And I've got the Hellcat Red Eye. It's there. It's raining. And I was like, I'm not even going to take it. It's a 50-minute drive. It's in the rain. It's all through downtown. It's all through whatever. I'll be sliding all over the place every time I hit the gas. I was like, forget it. I just took the other car.
Imagine when they debuted the Hellcat and I was invited to PIR and it was pouring rain and it was a 40-minute drive from the hotel to get there. And obviously you get the advantage of jumping in the Hellcat to drive it there. And that in and of itself was absolutely terrifying, not to mention going out on the track for the first time in this Hellcat Challenger.
Yeah.
It was unusable for me. I mean, after about an hour, yeah, then I had a little bit more fun with it. And, you know its boundaries and know where you're going to kill yourself and where you're not. But it takes a lot of work to keep that thing straight in the rain. It's crazy.
You definitely,
and like you said the other day, the 305 on the front, the way the car tracks.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy.
It's actually not that easy to drive. It was kind of interesting. Like it really takes some concentration. I mean, don't get me wrong, the car is super fun and it works. It does all the things it needs to do. But and you know, spending a little time under the hood and just getting a better look at the engine and the supercharger and the packaging of that thing and the red eye, you know, the scoops on the hood, how it brings in air, you know, into the filter and into the engine. It's pretty cool how they do that stuff. I can see how that engine has become a favorite among engine swaps and other vehicles. But it's a handful for sure. But you know, I had a lot of fun with it.
That's another aspect that makes it enjoyable. And how many cars are like that still? You know, so I mean, it brings harkens back to the old days when you didn't have the computer assist, and you know, it's like driving that 92 911. I go around the corner and I step on the throttle and I'm dead.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was driving the car around, I was like, this car is kind of all over the road, and that's with modern day electronics and traction control and everything else. And I'm like, the truck that I'm building, the Lightning I'm building, I'm looking for crazy horsepower, and there's no electronics in that thing, and it's a truck, so it's lightweight in the back. I'm like, it's gonna be useless when I'm done with it, but I don't know, it's more fun to build it.
But
it'll be fun.
It's not a normal project, and you've gotten a lot of publicity, you got a lot of attention from it.
You know, it's great content. I love talking about it. I love building it. I love working on it. So
I guarantee you didn't imagine that in the onset when you purchased that truck that you'd have nearly the fun that you're having now.
No,
I would be willing to bet there's no way you thought that.
No, you're right. Definitely. And you know, I had some ideas on it and I knew it could be kind of actually, and it's been down for like 2 weeks because the supercharger is getting rebuilt. And while I was waiting for that, I sent like the steering wheel to get recovered and it's the car that I walk past every day and go, man, I really want to drive my truck again. Like, I want to drive my truck again. I know there's many more steps to the modifications and stuff that I'm going to do to it. But I, you know, like I said before, like, I always wanted this project to be drive it a little bit and then modify it and drive it, learn more about it, see how it feels and drive it and then figure out sort of the next thing and the next thing. And I know there was going to be like parts that go on it and then come off of it as I figure out what I like and what I don't like, as opposed to a lot of cars like, you know, like my Cobra as well, that got built or is getting built, you know, on a lift in a garage, and all of those products are pretty much decided. And, you know, when it's done, I drive it. And if I don't like it, I'm kind of stuck with the way it is for a while. But this one I'm kind of working through. Again, that's why we're, you know, I'm sending the supercharger out to get rebuilt to see what kind of upgrades it, you know, what does it do to the engine? And then the engine's going to come out, you know, but
it's fun along the way. You're having a great time.
So I am. And I'm having some great,
our listeners understand that. And I guarantee you, you've struck a nerve with a number of them and that, you know, someone's probably gone out and purchased one of those and followed your suit and had some fun just like you have. So.
Yeah, and I think that would be fantastic because there's some fun ideas that we were doing on the truck. And maybe it's just influencing other builds. Maybe not other Lightnings, just other builds. But the other fun part has been having a lot of discussions with people in the aftermarket world. Most of the people that I know already, and meeting some new people along the way, but just sending emails back and forth. Very recently with Mark Bowler from Bowler Transmissions, he's such a good dude, and Rick Johnson from Gear Vendors. You know, our idea was to do the new Ford 6-speed automatic in it. And you know, Mark has a lot of experience with that. He was basically saying at the power level that we're doing, you can upgrade that transmission to handle some power, but it doesn't really like to handle high temp areas, high heat usability, I guess is the right term. So meaning that, you know, we can drive it on the street and could probably make it to handle the power that we want. But if we do want to like hit the track or autocross or the drag strip a few times, that transmission doesn't really like high temperatures for long periods of time. So
how does it like traffic?
Yeah, I don't know how it likes traffic. Maybe it's just sitting there. It's fine, but I like the idea of the transmission. I like the idea that it's kind of modern and it works well in the vehicles that it's in now. You know, we looked at the Ford 10-speed as well. There's just not a lot of aftermarket support for it yet. I don't believe there's an adapter kit yet that takes the 10-speed and adapts it to a small block Ford engine. The mod motors, sure, but not the small block Ford. So that wasn't really an option. You know, so we're just going with something that's been proven that Mark Bowler has sort of mastered is he builds up a custom built 4L80E. He's got the adapter plates and stuff to make it work on the Ford engine. He's got so much time into it. He knows how to program it. He knows how to build it. He knows how to size up the torque converter properly for it. And then he's also good friends with Rick at Gear Vendors. I spoke to Gear Vendors and I said, hey, you know, for doing the 4-speed, can I use the Gear Vendors unit? Can I turn it into an 8-speed? The Gear Vendors unit splits all the gears. It attaches to the back of the transmission, like the tail housing on the transmission gets removed. The Gear Vendors unit goes on there and it adds another gear set that splits all of the gear. So essentially it does two things for me is one, when accelerating, I don't drop RPM as much when switching from gear to gear. It keeps me up in that power band. And two, it does add an additional overdrive gear to it. So when I'm driving it, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour, I can activate the Gear Vendors and maybe get, you know, a little less wear and tear on the whole thing and a little bit better fuel mileage. But what we'll do is we'll talk to Mark Bowler at some point. We'll talk to Rick Johnson at Gear Vendors. He can better explain how the Gear Vendors unit works. But very cool stuff. And that seems to be the direction. Not an inexpensive direction, that's for sure. But I'm going for this magic 1,000 horsepower number, you know, not at the tires definitely, but it'd be interesting to see if we can get it at the engine. And that comes with some expensive upgrades. So
better put a wing on that sumbitch.
Something, right? Like, I don't know.
I'm
just going to fill the back up with cement blocks or something just to...
I don't think that Ford came out with an aero package in the beginning, so...
It didn't. That's about as big a brick as you can get out there. And I'm starting to think about some other, you know, revisions to the suspension and stuff to make it work. I can tell you right now, the the best thing so far was the big brake kit that we developed for this thing, because it stops so much better now, and I can't imagine how useful it's going to be once we add that crazy power to it. So we'll follow up on that and do some more, give you guys some more updates on that. You know, last week, well, this past week or so, I've been driving the Red Eye, but before that, I had the Jeep Gladiator. We had some discussions about this, and Dan Edmonds was in the studio, and he was talking about the Gladiator as well. And I just said that as much as I like the vehicle, it's not the right fit for me. It is very much a utilitarian vehicle, in my opinion, and it has a certain usefulness, especially off-road. That's really what it's made for, and we understand that. There's nothing better than the Jeeps when it comes to that stuff. And Dan does a lot of off-road testing and has a lot of knowledge on suspension travel and drivability and rock climbing and all of that stuff. And I'm guessing that people are seeing the Jeep Gladiator as a functional tool as much as I am, because unfortunately, the sales are not great, and compared to some of its competitors, they've been very, very slow moving. Certainly a vehicle that I thought was going to be a much hotter item than it is, but I don't know. They sold like 40,000 of them, and it's just a fraction of what some of the other companies, truck companies and stuff are selling. And
I'd like to see a territorial breakdown of that, because, you know, Bernie Dodge, which is my dealer mm-hmm. right down the road here in Texas, can't keep those things on the lot. They really can't. And there's a huge contingent of Jeepers out here, you know, rock crawlers and off-road guys. And
yeah,
I you know, but it surprises me on the coasts, whether it be Florida or whether it be California, that not more people are buying them, because it seems to be like the perfect beach vehicle, you know, because you got your Jeep, you can take your doors off, you could be at one with nature, but you got the truck bed, so you can haul more. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it's not resonating with people as much as we thought. And all of the modified versions and the Mopar accessories and everything we saw at SEMA, some of those things are pretty badass. There's so much you can do to them. I just don't know why it's not clicking as much. But again, you're right. Maybe it's just certain areas are not doing it or whatnot. But that also brings up the point that, you know, this is a hot button for me. These dealer markups, man. Dealer markups, I've always said for the long time, and I'm not going to get too fired up about it. You're just throwing money out the door. It's just, go into a store and buy eggs, and you might as well just. Could you imagine going there and going, yeah, eggs are $5.99, but there's a $5 dealer markup. Like, for what? Like, just because we said so. Like, I don't know. It's just a crazy thing. And
it's actually because we can. That's the explanation.
And it's a weird thing, because there's, I don't know. I just feel like the manufacturers could crack down on this a little bit more and go, listen.
Well, remember when Dodge did, you know, was it the Demon? Mm-hmm. They did, when, you know, the dealer would get a higher number if they charged, you know, over sticker.
Yeah. Yeah. They were doing something with that. And I know things like Ferrari has a list and Ford GT has a list, and there's an application process. Obviously you can't do that for every vehicle, but I don't know. It just seems kind of weird. But I tell you what, now I feel bad for the people that pay for them, pay for the markup, because they feel like they want this vehicle enough.
Why do you feel bad for it?
I mean, one, you shouldn't be paying. You should be smarter than that. And two, the dealer shouldn't be. This is why so many people don't like dealers. Like, they always sort of dread the idea of going, I got to go buy a car, and it's going to be a hassle, and they're going to want to negotiate. And they always feel like they're going to get screwed, and it doesn't have to be a shady business transaction. And
in a time when they are losing customers right and left, mm-hmm. you would think that they would go above and beyond to set a positive example for dealer to dealer, as opposed to, you know, cutting their nose off to spite themselves.
Yeah, listen, the Jeep Gladiators came out, and dealers were getting as much as 10,000 over sticker on these things. And there's no reason why. Like, Jeep didn't say, hey, we're only making a few, you can't get them. There's, you know, they're like, we can make as many as you want. Come in, order, get whatever you want. Like, that's the business we're in. We're selling vehicles. That's the business again. Anybody paying over sticker for that thing was insane.
Well, but if this is the day and age where you want to be that first guy or second guy on your block to have it, and you're willing to pay it because it means you got likes. It means you got attention. It means that, hey, look at me, I'm the man.
Is it?
You know, and it's that people are paying exorbitant amounts on top of the retail price out of sheer ignorance. Either that, or, you know, I mean, somebody that has the money and doesn't care about paying the over and really wants that car, wants to be the first guy. I mean, there are those guys out there. You know them. I know them. But these people that are willing to go in just to be the guy to have, you know, they deserve what they get.
It's a kind of a silly thing because 10,000 over sticker on Gladiators, and now that sales are slumping, there's as much as $9,000 cash incentives on it. So now we're 9,000 under sticker for a vehicle that people are paying 10,000 over sticker for.
That's
insane. I mean, think of that, guys. Think of that $10,000 that you gave to the dealer for nothing. They're laughing all the way to the bank. What you could have done with that money, you know. But by the way, if you wanted to, you could have just pumped $10,000 in aftermarket parts and fun stuff into your vehicle. You could have given it away. You could have, you know, anything. Like, this is not an insignificant amount of money.
Well, that's $10,000 of an entire vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't those things in the 40s, 50?
Yeah, yeah. The one I drove, the Rubicon and all that stuff, was had all the options, like $58,000. But yeah, that's a huge amount of money. You know, that's a huge amount of money, $10,000 over sticker for nothing. You're right. Just for your ego? Like, I don't know. Guys, don't do it.
That's the world we live in, dude. Look at the Snickers commercial. There couldn't be one more appropriate to modern times than the campaign that Snickers is doing right now.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It hits it right on the head. And it shows how ridiculous people are in this day and age. It truly does. So I could go on and on about that. But, you know, and here, we ought to do this every week, like a pet peeve or a, you know, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of back on that. We did that years ago.
Yeah.
But I think we should bring it back. You know, as I said, we're in a day and age of social media and everybody wants to be that guy. Hey, look at me. But I am absolutely sick and tired of people posting irresponsible videos of them hauling ass through traffic trying to show how cool their cars are.
Oh, and the motorcycles.
Everybody who does that and who follows me, I'm blocking them. And I just, you know, it's the most irresponsible thing you could do, you know, and, you know, we're old enough to have a license, and everybody looks up to the elders, whether it be an older brother or whether it be a father, whether it be a mother, whatever it may be, man. And we need to set a better damn example, because it's absolutely ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense to me. None whatsoever.
And, you know, I've one of the things on that topic that has come up a lot is a lot of people have hit me up and said, hey, you should have this guy on the show. He won the gumball thing or whatever the race is across the country. And I was like, is this just a drive? Is this just like people doing like a road trip, or is this a race? And they're like, yeah, it's a race. It's like a cannonball run. And I was like, it's fun to watch it in the movies and stuff like that, but it's not necessarily something I get behind, and it's not something that I've participated in. And the offers have come in, and they've said, oh, you know, you want to drive one of these cars, you're going to race from here to there, and it's going to take a few days, and there's checkpoints, and there's a party at night. And I was like, you know, socially, it sounds like it's a lot of fun, but I'm just not down with the, you know, racing across the country at 100 miles an hour and laughing at the speeding tickets and
let's people be honest, blur. We've all done it.
Yeah, look, I drive like a jerk all the time.
But it's time to grow up. Everybody's made mistakes, but now we have a highly rated podcast. And we need to set an example. I've got about 2 million followers on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to set an example. We need to be responsible. And hey, there's nothing cooler than seeing a car, you know, smoking tires and you know, showing the public what it can do, whether it be speed braking or turning a bit, whatever it is. But guys and girls, be freaking responsible, man. I mean, how about if you're videoing and you run into that car in front of you, and it's a mother and three kids, and they end up flipping. You know, I mean, it's socially irresponsible.
Yeah,
it is what it is. And like I said, I've done it before, but those days are over with.
Yeah, right?
You know, you got to. Well, you just have to be responsible, man.
You have to be responsible.
You know, I posted a video the other day of me slamming the tires of my carbon car, my speed core car.
Mm-hmm.
But that was on my driveway.
Right.
That was my driveway. And I get it. People may not be as fortunate as me to have a driveway like that. And they may have to go up, but rent a track. You know, do something. Don't do it through traffic. It's imbecilic. It truly is.
Call the boys over at Hoonigan. Maybe they'll let you tear up their parking lot.
I got my own parking lot.
You got your own parking lot. Yeah, except you got like a donkey running around.
You're talking about the
public. yeah, everybody else. Call the Hoonigan guys. See if they'll let you tear up their place a little bit. They always have some fun
call
stuff.
Call Hoonigans. Go to Bondurant.
Go to Bondurant. Bondurant is where you can do burnouts without a donkey walking across in front of you.
or a 2,500 pound longhorn steer.
Yeah, right. All right, I want to talk a little bit about some electric car news. That seems to be the positive news in the automotive industry right now. But before we do that, let me tell you guys about Geico. Let's say you have a home. Maybe you rent it. Maybe you own it. Either way, there's usually a lot of work to do over there. But, you know, it doesn't have to be work all the time. You know what's easy? It's bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. That's a good thing because you already know you have a lot to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. There's a lot of news in the electric car market world, which is interesting, and it's opening the doors for some of these startup companies. And I do question some of the motivation behind them because I don't know they need so much money, so much funding, billions in funding to make this happen. A lot of it is just because there's so many government rules with testing and crash testing and all that stuff. And, you know, a lot of that is fine. It's good. We need some of that. We want safe cars. But there's also a lot of bureaucracy that goes in there as well. You know, as you know, look, anybody that tries to build anything, try pulling permits and see how much that is going to cost and how long that's going to take for something completely silly. Nikola... This is an EV startup company out of Phoenix, Arizona, and they've been working on this pickup truck, kind of a cool-looking pickup truck, you know, kind of a flared, fendered, kind of off-roady, almost Raptor-esque type pickup truck. And they're basically going to have two versions of this. One is an all-electric powertrain. It's about a 300-mile range using electric powertrain, somewhere around 455 horsepower on average and a peak of over 900 horsepower, 980 pound-feet of torque, but 300-mile range. And then the second option is a combination of hydrogen fuel cells that combine with the battery packs to create a 600-mile range. It's a cool-looking vehicle. I'm not sure how far along they are with it. I think they kind of want to get in to more of a work fleet truck realm of things and go after that audience, it's a pretty good idea. By the way, their truck is what the Tesla Cybertruck probably should look like when it comes to marketability. It's funny because now we read, oh, it's almost 1,000 horsepower. It's 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. And it seems like everybody says that now. Like everything is 3 seconds, under 3 seconds. Any electric vehicle is under 3 seconds. I don't know. This might be an interesting company to take a look at. They've been testing this truck a lot, and it should be kind of interesting. I think it's longer and wider than an F-150. But significantly shorter, so it should be pretty interesting. But they've been putting a lot of focus on towing and climbing and what kind of hill grade you can go up and things like that. So it'll be kind of interesting. Their competitors, of course, would be electric F-150, Tesla, Bollinger. And a number of others. Rivian.
What's the latest on them? Because remember, they were the hot topic there with Ford's backing, and
yeah, they really
be getting close, don't they?
Yeah. So Rivian is cranking away, and they seem to be in a pretty good position. And like you said, they've done a few rounds of funding now. This past year or so were the most significant. I want to say $400 million from Ford, or a round of $400 million led by Ford, and a big investment from Amazon as well as others as well. So I don't know. They're sitting on $1.3 billion or something, like $1.2 billion in recent funding, which sounds like a lot and is, but is necessary for these type of companies. And two things have happened that we've seen is Amazon approached Rivian and said, I like your platform, I like your technology, and I know you're working with Ford on some vehicles and you're developing your own pickup truck and SUV, but we want delivery vehicles. And when you're ready, we want 100,000 delivery vehicles. So they're basically putting in an order to Rivian to make 100,000 like delivery trucks, like, I don't know, like a Transit Connect or like a UPS, maybe not that big, but the something along the lines of that. So that's a huge, not just a huge investment for Rivian, but a huge order for vehicles as well. And that's the best way to raise money is through sales, certainly when you're trying to reach profitability. And then Ford, as we know, we've had these conversations with them, is Ford's going to have an electric F-150, and Ford is going to be bringing an EV platform to their Lincoln vehicles. And we don't know if it's cars or trucks or whatever. But Ford had said that their F-150 is going to still be based off of their own technology, maybe something that they've been developing with the Mustang Mach-E could translate into an F-150. But Rivian is using their technology to power the new EV Lincolns, and we don't know exactly what they're going to be yet. A Lincoln Aviator or a Corsair or something new, we don't know, but an EV version of that. And I like that. Those two partnerships seem super solid for Rivian as a startup company. They're well-funded now. They've got huge orders, and they've got development partners that are significant in the space. So this is definitely a company I'm going to be keeping an eye on, as we all should be, because they could be doing something new. However, they do have their pickup truck, and they have their SUV that they want to release as well. And I'm okay with that, but I'm also okay with them being just a technology company that develops these electric drivetrains. Because once you start getting into selling your own vehicles, now it comes down to there's a dealer network, and there's customer service, and there's repairs and warranties, and it's a whole new world, which seems like, look at the struggles of a Tesla who's trying to do something on a large scale compared to some of these small supercar manufacturers that go through one or two dealers in the entire country, you know, and cars have to be sent back to the factory for repair. You know, I don't think Rivian's going to be able to get away with that. You know, they're not going to, you know, hey, look, unless Rivian comes up with some sort of like, hey, if you want the truck, there's no test driving, there's no whatever, you go to their website, you order it like you would an Amazon package, and you get your truck in the mail. And then
with no warranty.
Right. And then if it breaks, you send it back. I don't know. But that seems like the difficult portion is the dealer network. But I do like their technology and what they seem to be doing, and I like the partnerships that they have. So definitely something worth looking at, you know. But now we've got, you know, like we said, we got Nikola stepping into that area. We've got GM. GM teased their new Hummer based off of probably a GMC pickup truck, from what I understand. We'll get an official glimpse at this thing, an unveiling on May 20th of this year. We'll find out what that thing is actually going to look like and what it will be. But the news that we have on it, of course, they touted themselves as saying, hey, Hummer's coming out, 1,000 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, which seems to be what everybody's saying. Deliveries will start in 2021. But now they're saying, we understand not everybody needs 1,000 horsepower and go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. So they will have three engine options, or power options, if you will, with the 1,000 being at the top of the range, and then two more affordable options, or more affordable options underneath that. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with as well. But now with GM doing something like this, now we have a company that knows how to make trucks and has a dealer network and understands maintenance and repair and, you know, has the facilities in place to do that. So an electric Hummer pickup truck, an electric F-150 pickup truck could be game changers in that world. These are, you know, trucks that are coming from established companies. And of course, you know, we've seen Chevy Bolt and you know, and I think Kia has an electric vehicle, and of course Toyota's success with the hybrids and the Prius. But I think in the truck world, because they sell so many of these, the Ford and the Hummer are going to be two things to look at as well. I don't know. I mean, as much as we love horsepower and noise, I wouldn't completely throw out the idea of having an electric truck. You know, like, it's not really a project that you and I would take on, but I'm not opposed to the idea. It could be interesting. You know, certainly you can't deny,
well, especially with the original numbers that the Rivian was touting with their truck.
Yeah, look, if these things can be as fun and as fast as they are and have all the usability, you know, with no transmission and stuff, you've seen these things, you've seen the pictures, there's doors on the sides and you can push right through them, you can store all kinds of things and haul all kinds of things, and if you can go a little bit off-road, if you can haul things around, and, you know, I don't do a lot of off-roading, but we move a lot of stuff back and forth from one building to the other, from one shop to the other, and I'm moving parts around, and I'm, you know, picking up parts for my car projects and press vehicles. I'm like, hey, what does it take to load up the back of a Ford Explorer or whatever? So, you know, a daily driven electric truck is more appealing to me than an electric car for some reason, because I like the idea of the added functionality of the truck, and the fact that it could be fast as hell. I like that more than the car side of it, because in the car side, it feels so sporty to me. And with that, I like the sound, and I like the, you know, the feel and the vibration of whatever, your muscle cars, your McLarens or whatever. So I think I'm a little bit more into the idea of electric truck than I am electric car. What do you think?
I feel the exact same way. Well, for the same reason, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's something that I'd put in the stable, but I'm very curious about it, and I'm much more curious about it than I am the electric vehicle.
Look, actually, the truth is your wife, Wanda, uses the truck probably more than you and I would be more curious for someone like that to spend a week or two with one of the electric trucks and have her say, I like it or I don't, have her say, oh yeah, there's all these extra doors and there's storage and I used it for this, or have her go, it I'm not feeling it, you know. Someone who
really uses it.
Well, it's
going to have to be a hell of a truck because I can't pry her out of that F-250 for anything. You know, she drives my Ram, you know, like a rent-a-car.
Yeah.
And she uses her truck for, you know, for all her chores, and whether it's pulling horses or loading the horse crap in the back of that damn thing.
Right,
it's
literally
used every day. But yeah, she would be a great one to see the functionality of that vehicle.
I'm down with this. Like, I think the test is like a rancher, like someone like wanted to go, I'm actually going to use this truck for truck stuff. And
absolutely,
and see,
no question, because that's, you know, even though out in California, there's limited amount of people who use the trucks for actually what they're used for, mm-hmm. or what they're built for. But I truly believe that. I think it could be a game changer. I really do. I originally was intrigued because of the 0 to 60 speed of the damn thing and the range of it. But I think there are going to be a hell of a lot of uses for it. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see it hit.
I'll tell you, like the Lightning that I have is the first truck that I've actually owned. And of all the modifications I've done onto it, I will tell you that the most used, or arguably the two most used changes I've done to that is, one is the bedliner, the Line-X bedliner, and two, that electric tonneau cover, the Pace Edwards electric tonneau cover. I have used that thing more than anything because I'm constantly putting stuff in and out of the back of the truck. Even parts for the truck are stored in the back of the truck and locked up, you know, tailgate lock and the electric tonneau. I swear I've used that thing more. I've probably used it 50 times without ever starting the truck or getting in the truck. So I've arguably used it more than I've used the stereo in that truck, because as I'm building it, it sits there and I keep doing stuff on it and I keep grabbing parts in and out of the back. But anyway, let me tell you guys about Dodge. We love our friends at Dodge. Visit your local Dodge dealer today, where they bring you performance, technology, and great deals. There's never been a better time, because right now Dodge is offering Power Dollars. With Power Dollars, you'll get $10 off for each horsepower of your new car. That's every 2019 Dodge Charger, every 2019 Dodge Challenger. That means you can pull away in a 2019 Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack. And with 485 horsepower, you'll receive an almost $5,000 cash allowance. So get more power and get more off. It's that simple. So hurry into your local Dodge dealer today and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars. The one last thing I want to touch on before we we'll wrap up. Well, there was two things. Is one, I want to remind you guys about our CarCast event coming up at the Peterson Museum. I'll tell you about that in a second. SSC, this is the supercar company, the American supercar company that it's been around for a while. They had a car back in the day, SSC Aero, I think, or Aero something or other. Not the best looking car in the world, in my opinion, but it seemed to perform pretty well. Didn't really hear much from the company for a while, and they've been developing the
Tuatera.
Tuatera. The Tuatera is this new supercar. And what's interesting is, out here locally in California, we've got our friend Tom Nelson at Nelson Racing Engines. It's been building crazy engines for a long time. Years ago on CarCast, we had the David Freiberger's F-bomb Camaro in here with the twin turbos on it, and Nelson Racing Engines. Nelson built the power plant in that thing, and has been doing some pretty crazy engines over the years, and has invested more and more into his business. With that crazy, you know, fully machined billet alien intake, and he may even be doing his own engine blocks at this point, and which is pretty cool stuff. Well, they went to him for the engine on this thing, and
if you look at it online, it is nothing but art. It is absolutely beautiful.
It is, and it's pretty crazy. And the aerodynamics is some of the most efficient and sleekest aerodynamics out there. I think the drag coefficient was like 0.29 or 2.8 or maybe as low as 2.6. Like, it's just phenomenal. And the first one went to
Manhattan. Just go to the bank, go to Manhattan Motor Cars, pull out 1.8, and you can pick it up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Might as well pull out 2 million. You got some taxes to cover as well. But, here you go, 1,350 horsepower on 91 octane. But if you run it on E85, it jumps to 1,750. This will do 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, and they claim it has a top speed of over 300 miles an hour. It hasn't been tested yet. Things get scary at that speed, right? Where are you going to do it? Can you stop? What's the aero? Does it lift off the ground? There's probably a lot of issues with going 300 miles an hour.
There's a whole list of shit you got to deal with.
Yeah.
After going 150, anything over 150, you got to start dealing with a whole new batch of issues.
Yeah. So I mean, I like the idea that on paper it can do that. We'd love to see it get tested in a true track environment, some sort of racing environment. I'd love to see what it does, but it's a cool looking car. It's got these sort of fins in the back in lieu of like a full wing. It's almost got like devil horns on the back. rear
But you
fenders.
Remember what the original one that they touted looked like? I mean, it was, if I remember correctly, we had it on Bull Run, and one of the seasons on Bull Run, and we had it on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had I can't remember what the other car was, an MC13. I can't remember what it was, but we ended up breaking both of them. But back in the day, they touted the performance of the vehicle, I believe, and it was much more accentuated than the look of the vehicle. Man, I'll tell you what, they have made leaps and bounds in the number of years, because this Tuatara, or whatever you want to call it, is an absolutely gorgeous work of art.
Yeah, and it's a beast of a machine. So my only thought on it is I saw some of the videos of it at the auto show in Philadelphia, because the first owner, I guess, is from Philadelphia, and he wanted to debut it there and promote like a charity or something that he's doing. So he brought out a bunch of his cars in the collection. And it looks cool, but he ordered it black. It's like a metallic black with some red accents on it. And it looked cool when you really kind of zoomed in, because the black is beautiful and they did a great job. But I would really have liked to have seen it in a little bit brighter color, just so you can see the lines of the vehicle more. Like, from a distance and on video, it's tough to see all the curves and the swooping features of it. But it is a pretty cool car, and it's American supercar.
What is it, like 3,000 pounds or something? 2,500 pounds?
Yeah, it's. I don't even know if it's 2,500. It might even be less than that. I mean, just it's pretty amazing. And the engine is incredible, and everything has to just be aluminum and carbon fiber at this point. But anyway, it's cool. So you guys look it up. The Tuatara, it's SSC is the company. SSC Supercars or SSC American. I forgot what it was. But
And my Instagram, take 5 minutes and go on Instagram and look at Glickenhaus.
Oh, yeah.
That's my suggestion for the week.
Yeah. Anyway, check that out as well. But some cool stuff. So before we wrap up, I just want to remind you guys, tickets are now available. We're doing CarCast Live. It's at the Peterson Museum. It's going to be March 21st. There are various stages of tickets there. I think they start at about $16. I was kind of hoping it would be like free, but $16 is pretty cheap, and that includes tickets to the museum. So if you just want to go and be a spectator at the car show and walk around the museum, we did it last year, and it was a little confusion as to can you go in the museum, can you not go in the museum, is it car show only? So the $16 gets you in the door for the whole car show in the museum. And then from there, you can show a car. It's got a couple of bucks, and there's a couple of different packages where you can stay for a screening and a live podcast. But it's going to be, I think, in the afternoon. I think it starts around 2 o'clock and maybe goes to late at night. I'm not exactly sure, but go to peterson.org/carcast. Tickets are available. It's March 21st. There's a car show, so hopefully bring your cars out. There will be a live podcast. There will be a screening of Shelby American. You may have even already seen the movie on Netflix, but it's so much fun to see it in a live environment with other people that appreciate that. And I'm talking
popcorn with Adam Carolla.
Yeah, you know, and look, and we're trying to pull some extra footage and some like DVD extras, and hopefully we can screen some of that stuff as well. So you might be able to see some stuff that you haven't seen before. It's gonna be a fun event. We will be judging car shows. We got to figure out the plan, Bill, if you can make it out, because we want you to be a part of this. We got to just take a look at your WWE schedule and your filming schedule. I know you're kind of busy, but we were going to have trophies for the car shows. And by the way, I want anything like this. This isn't, don't just, you know, roll out in your Ferrari or whatever you have that, cause you think it's super fancy. I love those. Bring them out there, but bring us the coolest stuff. Anything that you stuff, your project cars, tell me about your project cars, show me that you're working on, doesn't even have to be done. Bring it out there, show it off. We'd love to see it.
And if you bring a Ford Lightning, you get in free.
That might not be the worst idea ever. If you bring a Lightning, you get in free, but we will give out, my pick of the show, Adam's pick of the show, best of show, and people's choice. I think those are the awards we're going to do. If Bill, if you're going to be there, we'll do your pick of the show as well. And we picked some pretty crazy stuff last year when we did this. So it's a fun event. Get your tickets, get your car registered, peterson.org/carcast, and come out for that. By the way, if you haven't been to the museum, museum's badass. This is, they did a hell of a job doing it. And the James Hetfield exhibit from Metallica, his exhibit is there. I believe it's running through most of this year, so that exhibit will be part of your ticket price. If you get tickets that, you know, that include the museum tour, you can do that. It'll be fun. So hopefully you guys come out and do that. So, but guys, thank you so much. CarCast Show is the website. CarCast Show is the social media. You can find us on iTunes, which you're probably doing already, but also we're on Spotify. So if you like that better, you can switch over to there. We appreciate the kind words and the nice reviews. You can follow me at Moderator. You can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter, and he's Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram, and you can watch them all the time now in WWE, right?
Yeah, not all the time. Not all the time. Just Fridays, sparingly, but get ready for next Friday. I might be there. You never know. But hey, take a look at Goldberg's Garage on Instagram coming up soon. I just had the Metron Garage guys out the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And we're about to break ground, dude.
Yeah, it's
so
gonna be badass.
I'm gonna put up some plans, and hopefully people won't throw me under the train, saying, you know, what a jerk I am for building a garage like this. But hey, man, I work my ass off, and I deserve it. So, rock and roll.
You're putting a big ass gym in there, I think, right?
2,800 square feet. Yes, sir.
Nice. Yeah. Look, now it's your career. Right, like that. This is the next. I don't know how long of your life. Like this is an important part of not just being healthy. You get paid to be in that gym, buddy. You gotta get back in it.
Yeah, and I haven't had it for the last 3 months. And oh, lo and behold, my 53-year-old ass is putting the tights on again in 3 weeks. Well, excuse me, less than 3 weeks.
Less than three weeks.
Metron, get your asses going. Let's get this garage last. Weight room up quick so I can be, you know, a little bit of Goldberg again.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll chat next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Don't haul ass on public streets.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.